Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Slaying Your Lane, the podcast. My name is Elizabeth Uvebenene, and last week Yomi and I sat down with Obi Sokko to discuss his new book, You Are Dope, which is out next week. We also discuss what else he's been up to, his views on social media and fame, and taking time for yourself. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Slay in Your Lane, the podcast. My name's Yomi Degoke.
And I'm Elizabeth Uvebenene.
And today is a bit of a milestone for us. We are welcoming our very first ever guest. And and I think, to be honest, for our first guest, it has to be someone very, very special. And I think that everybody will agree that we have truly... If you could see his face right now, like he's acting like what we're saying isn't correct. But you know, we had to really do it for you guys, especially because we know we have a lot of female listeners. So we came with the goods, and guys, we are joined with the one, the only Obi.
You taught me up way too much. What's going on? Jeez Louise.
Oh, that wasn't the first time.
No, I appreciate it. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me, first and foremost.
No, thanks for being our first guest.
I'm honoured. And I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming, Obi. And Elizabeth, I'm sure you remember that we're Love Island stans, and during your tenure, we were very, very much Team Obi, like the rest of the country was. So for those of you who were like sort of hiding under a rock for the past, let's say like however many years. So Obi is a professional basketball player who started his career at college, playing for the University of Alabama before going pro in 2014. And he captured the hearts of millions during his appearance on Love Island in 2019. He reached the final and saw his social following rocket, and people fell in love with the boy from North London and his old school charm. He shot to fame with his catchphrase, message. He was known for his words of wisdom and positive outlook throughout his time in the villa. And now he has written an excellent book, which we're going to talk a little bit more about. But before we get to that, how are you doing today, Ovi? How has post-lockdown life been treating you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. I'm good. At the moment, I'm in France. The sun is shining. The sun is amazing. It's a wonderful day. We're here. I'm kicking. I'm healthy. Do you feel me? You guys yes. are here. You guys seem to be happy. It's all smiles. So I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I really can't complain about anything.
There's lots of teeth on this Zoom.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Just grinning. Lots of good teeth.
Lots of teeth, lots of clear skin, lots of good vibes.
Lots of Nigerian vibes.
Everyone yes. You know.
Oh my gosh, honestly. A lot of Nigerian excellence on the airwaves today.
Believe it. I'm claiming that one.
So, Obi, you strike us. I think, Elizabeth, can you agree with me that like what we got on, I mean, I know we're on a screen right now, but what you got on the TV screen, what we saw, a humble, very cool dude. I feel like that's the vibe we're getting right now, right?
Yeah.
Really down to earth, cool person.
Yeah. I feel like I've known you all my life. Like, it doesn't feel like the first time we've ever spoken. I feel like we've spoken plenty times. No. I'm trying to make this serious, but I just can't. Every time I'm just laughing. But no.
It's surreal.
No, why should it be serious? Do you know what I mean? Life should be about smiles and fun and learning, meeting people, embracing, do you know what I mean, experiences. This is an experience. It's good, man. We should enjoy it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think you're one of those people that just has like really positive vibes without it being like forced. And I think that's what people, while watching Love Island, it
you're there for, you know, the drama and the messiness and like everybody just, I guess, like, you know, where's your head at type of conversations. But I think you brought a real like difference and real different point of view with Love Island. And did before Love Island, were you, I don't want to talk about Love Island like the whole thing, but were you like, is this the Ovi that we've always, like, you've always been like, have you always just been like cool, calm, collected, just like positive?
I mean, well, to be honest, you know, I went through a teenage phase when I was in my late teens, early 20s. I probably wasn't the same guy, but, you know, life experience, having been privileged enough to move around, live in a couple of different environments and different cultures and learning a bit more about the world outside of the sort of outside of London, it's taught me a lot, you know what I mean? It's taught me a lot. It's put a lot of things into perspective. So yeah, I feel like I've grown to become the person that everyone saw. And now, you know, I'm continuously growing, just trying to navigate my way through life like everyone else. Do you know what I mean?
And obviously, as Elizabeth mentioned, like, you know, you are a super positive person. You seem like a very sort of grounded person. How easy has it been to essentially remain humble through all of the hype? I mean, there's been a national OV day. There's been a lot of hype. And you still seem very down to earth. So is that something that you're actively trying to, like, do you have to sometimes sit there and be like, okay, don't get too gassed? How do you sort of keep yourself level-headed?
I mean, I think my sports background kind of helps me a lot with that side of things, because, you know, in sports, just the nature of it is you have a good game and the whole world will love you, and then you play badly and, you know, everyone will hate you all of a sudden. So it's just to remain the same, you know what I mean? There's a saying, never be too high, never be too low, just remain dead in the middle, you know? So I appreciate the nice things that people say, and it's wonderful, of course, but you can't read into it, or you can't take it on too much, because that's just as bad for your health as taking on negative things that are said about you. And you know, you shouldn't believe any of them. You need to believe what you believe about yourself first and foremost. So I think that's just the most important thing with all of that.
Did your upbringing like play a role? Obviously, I assume it had, but how did it play a role in kind of, I guess, you as the man today?
My dad's a cool cat. My mum humbled me. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, my upbringing definitely played a big role. You know, it played a huge role. If you're a Nigerian, you know, the sort of upbringing, it was strict, raised in the church, that whole deal. But I think my road and my journey has been pretty unique in that I left home when I was 16. Do you know what I mean? Which is something that's probably not so common in Nigerian households, especially to go and play sports.
Yeah.
Like sports, especially when I was now, you know, I think the Nigerian culture is becoming more accepting of different talents outside of being a doctor or a lawyer, or, you know, sort of those things that are rated highly in that society. Now they appreciate musicians and different arts, if you want to call it. But I think my journey, having left, I was able to take what I liked from my upbringing and carry that with me. You know, things like respecting your elders, respecting people around you, certain other traits and qualities that I took from the Nigerian culture, I've taken it. And then some stuff that I haven't agreed with, I've left that. And then when I went to the States, there's things that I liked about their culture and I've taken. And then things I didn't agree with, I left. And that's just sort of how I've continued to kind of grow and really just take on what agrees with who I am. And that's how I feel like I've been able to grow as a person on this life journey so far.
I love that pick and mix approach to, you know, beliefs and stuff.
It is. I touch on that in the book, funny enough. I speak about culture, you know, because I think we can all fall into a culture trap and it can really, really limit us. You know, if you feel like you're not able to think a certain way because of your culture or because of the neighborhood you grew up in, or like you're just limiting the person you are. Fine, it's cool to have grown up, and there's things that you must embrace about your culture that is a part of your identity, but we must never forget in that and get carried away to the point of we're forgetting that we're an individual. No one that's come through your culture is you, and no one will be you after you, and you need to remember that. So there are naturally things that will not agree with you that maybe you were taught during your upbringing, and that is fine. Do you know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people feel pressure to stick to, oh, but I was raised this way, so this was must. Well, no, because the people who raised you, I'm sorry to say, they are not you. Do you know what I mean? So how can everything align with you? No, that's just not. God didn't create us that way. He didn't create a whole bunch of clones. If that's the way it was supposed to be, we would all be the same, period. Every woman would look the same, move the same, act the same. Every man will look the same, move the same, act the same. But we're not. We're all different for a reason. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, man.
Elizabeth, we've just gone to church. We've been taken to church with that come through only with that sermon.
My morning
motivational speaker.
My morning voice note.
Honestly, I was like, girl, that really, like, honestly, I need that transcribed and put on an Instagram quote. Those are bars. Those are real bars, for real.
It's true. I mean,
for real. Yeah.
It just seems like you...
No, sorry, go on, Elizabeth.
No, I was just saying that just listening to you and just being transformed, like, you know, transported to another, like, world, just the way you were, like, just articulating yourself, it's... You just know yourself. And I think that that's sometimes quite tough for a lot of young people. And it just sounds like you've been on a journey. Have there ever been challenges along the way where you've just, like, I guess, stumbled pre the fame of Love Island, but even now, like, do you ever encounter those moments where you do get kind of, like, you know, maybe a crisis in confidence or crisis in, you know, identity at all?
I'm continuously growing. I'm continuously learning more about myself. I'm continuously stumbling. Do you know what I mean? That's the nature of life. That's the nature of humans. That's how we grow. Do you know what I mean? Like, but one of the misconceptions is that we're not supposed to stumble. We're not supposed, especially when we become adults, like failure or not even failure, but just slipping up or whatever along the journey is seen as a bad thing. Well, that's how we learn how to walk. We learn how to walk by trying to get on our feet, probably banging our heads a couple of times, taking a couple of bumps and bruises, but you learn your way of walking and eventually you get up on your feet and you keep moving. I would say, you know, growing up, I've been through phases of heavy toxic masculinity, you know, especially in them, I would say between 13, 14, up until, you know, around 20, 21, 22, like college days. Like I dealt with a lot of that stuff. And a lot of that just came from trying to fit in, and I figured out and I experienced so many times where me trying to fit in didn't have the desired outcome. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I touch on that in the book because I think it's a big deal for men to understand what it means to believe in yourself and be unique and be confident in who you are and that you bring something different to the table, but you bring more than enough to the table. There's more than enough to go around, and no one else that's sitting at the table has what you have. No one. Do you know what I'm saying? But too much of the time, I think all of us ladies, they try and fit in to certain images, to certain society standards. And I feel like, ladies, you're selling yourself short because you're not understanding quite the gift that is you. Do you know what I mean? You're not understanding how much of a gift and the world is missing out on something unique and different by you trying to fit in and subscribe to this wider, what I call herd sort of mentality. Do you know what I mean? We all do it. We're all guilty of it.
I feel like, you know, a massive theme of your book, a massive theme of your time in Love Island has definitely been doing you. And obviously when you are doing you, like, I think with how it came across in terms of, like, Love Island and how well you were received, I mean, everybody was backing you. Everybody has been backing you. But then that can come with its own type of pressure. When you're doing yourself and everyone's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. If you do something that then, I suppose, deviates from an idea that people have of you, it can mean that people then turn nasty quick. Yeah. I was just interested in, again, like, just speaking to Elizabeth's point, like, how do you kind of cope with that? Because obviously it seems like you are very self-assured and you know yourself very well, but it must still be difficult to, it must be like a kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, like constant pressure in terms of like having this standard that was set of you on this TV show,
yeah,
that then, you know, if you were to ever misstep, if you were to ever say something that people perceived as a misstep, you then are like responsible and having to like, do you know what I mean? Make sure that people still see you in a particular way. Do you ever feel that pressure?
Well, I think that's something that I would say I probably felt it quite a bit when I first came out, because it was a shock. Like I went in, I never expected for people to take to me the way they did. And, you know, it was great. But when I first came out, I was like, whoa, like I didn't get it. I was like, what's all this about? You know, I've just gone in. I've pretty much had a holiday kind of paid for, but I've enjoyed an experience. And now there's all of this hoopla going on, and I just didn't really get it. But after, you know, I took some time to sort of just calm down. It's just one of those things that you understand. Some people will like you all the time. Some people will dislike you. For as many people that took a liking to me, I'm sure there were people who didn't like me. Like, and that's fine. But it will always be like that, you know. But I think maybe I experienced that on a large scale in that setting. But I think we all deal with that. Everybody deals with that sort of pressure of wanting to please your family, not wanting to mess up as far as making your friends sort of think you're a bit weird. And the thing is, when you step outside of the box and you take a leap of faith by doing and following your own intuition, there will always be people who are going to point fingers and say this or that, or say one thing or another. And a lot of the time, you know, it'll come from your friends. It'll come from people who are close to you. And they might even just say it as passing comments, like, oh, that's silly. Or, oh, like, what are you doing? Like a silly little joke. Oh, no, that's stupid. But those things hurt. Do you know what I'm saying? Those things have big effects. But you just always need to realize that's because they're speaking from the safety of the herd. Do you know what I mean? At first, mm-hmm. they'll point. At first, they'll make jokes. But then afterwards, once they see you start to elevate in your own path or whatever it is you're deciding to do, they'll then embrace you. Do you know what I mean? But that's a pressure that's always going to be there. So it's not always easy following your own path or doing what you feel is right. But the rewards at the end of the road are always very, very worth it. You always feel more fulfilled. Do you know what I mean? And it's always great for people to embrace you for following your own path than it is for following everyone else. Do you feel me?
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask, what are you doing in France at the moment?
Basketball.
Hey.
I'm back to business. I feel like the last year has been great. And you know, I've taken so many lessons and experiences from the last year. Wonderful. And there'll be things I'll carry with me and move forward in. And there's some parts of the whole hoopla that I'll probably just leave behind. Not really for me. But yeah, back to doing what I do. Back to traveling a bit, playing a bit of ball. Yeah, it's nice.
Was that a hard decision?
Because not really.
You probably have lots of opportunities, lots of options, and people do it. People like pulling you in different directions. I find it quite brave. You say, no, I'm going to go back to doing, you know, basketball, something that you love. It would probably be easier just to kind of go with the wind for another couple of years and then reassess things. Like, was that quite a difficult decision or not?
At first, it was like a decision I was weighing up. I was like, okay, what do I really want to do this next year? Do I want to go back to playing basketball or is this completely for me? I think the journey of the last year, there's so many opportunities that are presented to you. It's like, okay, it's very easy to say, okay, yeah, just take everything on.
Mm.
But I'm very conscious of doing things that I truly believe in and things that I'm passionate about and things that, you know, I feel like there's a future in or some sort of longevity in. I'm very much so about that. So as much as there was many things that I loved doing, there wasn't anything that grasped me to the point that I was like, okay, no, I really want to throw myself completely into that. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, you know, let me just continue to do what I love. You know, basketball is something I can completely just throw myself at 100%, and I'll continue to improve in other areas. And maybe later on down the line, there'll be something else that, or another door that's been opened that I would like to go down. Do you feel me? But for now, it's the right decision for me, you know, and it feels right. It feels right.
And in terms of, as you said, you only really put your energy into things that you truly believe in and that you're fully about. So when it came to you writing your book, you said, again, as you sort of mentioned, that, you know, it's about you sort of really caring about what you put into it. And I think, you know, there can be a sort of pressure to just do and to be like, okay, here's this opportunity, here's this, you know, why don't you write a book? This is obviously something that you're truly passionate about. And even, like, you know, sort of when you quote from it, you can see it's like very much a lifestyle as opposed to like a thing that you're just doing. So did you have book aspirations prior Love Island or prior the opportunity coming up? How did it sort of come about?
I have like a little black book that, you know, I journal in it, I guess. Like, I write lists. It's everything's in there. You might find a shopping list in there. You find a list of goals. It's just, yeah, it's just a handy.
I want to know what's in your shopping list. I don't know.
Another discussion for another day.
From the random to the mundane.
But no, and I wrote something down. Like, I write down long-term goals. Do you know what I mean? And one of the things I wrote down, and it was a while ago, way before I got accepted for Love Island and all of that, I was like, I want to create a service or a product that will help people feel better about themselves. And I want it to reach thousands and thousands of people. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I had no idea or anything along the line. I just wrote that there and left it there. And after I came out of Love Island, I saw sort of the reception, and it was a bit, like I said, it was a bit overwhelming at times. Like, it was a bit mad. But in my mind, I was like, okay, well, people have obviously taken to me, but how can I find a way to give something back that's of value, that I know is of value, and that can really help people in their lives? Do you know what I mean? I wanted to give people something that was about them and not necessarily about me. And the idea of the book came up. Now, initially, when the idea of the book came up, I was just like, well, no, I don't want to do a book. Like, I'm not going to do a biography or whatever, autobiography. Like, I don't have enough. I haven't lived long enough to tell people about my life. Like, what am I, you know, I'm not that into myself. But then the light bulb went off, and I was like, well, hold on. I can do something that's not necessarily about me, but about giving back to people. Do you know what I mean? And helping people put a mirror back in front of themselves for them to see all of the amazingness, the dopeness, no pun intended, but the great things that are what they look at in the mirror. Do you know what I mean? We're always sold every single day. We're sold what we're not. We're sold on Instagram, the bodies we're not, the cars we don't have, the clothes we don't have, the money we don't have. But, you know, I'm about trying to show people what they are and what they have and the dopeness and amazingness that lies within you being the only person that contains what you bring to the world. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a real, 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 real power in that I feel like people have lost sight of within this sort of safety and the herd mentality. So I just want people to start getting back to that.
And in the book, I mean, you've said that one of the reasons that you decided to write it was essentially because you were talking about how difficult it is for someone to love themselves in this social media era, which I think is something anybody can relate to. You don't have to have, you know, come out of the biggest reality TV show in the country and amassed millions of followers to know what that feels like. But I just wanted you to kind of speak a little bit about social media in terms of, like, when you say that it is difficult to love yourself in the social media era. I think we all kind of know how, but I'm interested in your kind of take on it, what we are essentially losing to social media and how, what tips you have, if any, to be able to navigate that space healthily.
It's wild. Social media is a wild place. It's a toxic place. It's a place that breeds a lot of self-hate issues. It breeds a lot of unnecessary competition, I think it makes you question everything about yourself. Do you know what I mean? But ultimately, my whole thought process around social media is, okay, in normal life, when we go out of the house, we try and present ourselves in the best way we can. You know, we put on respectable clothes or whatever. We wear our cologne or perfume. You know, you want to look nice. You want people to see you at your best. But social media is that on steroids, because people have put on their best and then they've whacked filters over it. They've adjusted the picture three times. They've stood in certain angles. They've used this, that, and the other app to create a perfect picture. But with all of these things, all of these filters that have been put over it, that's not reality. Like, that's not attainable. The person who's posted it cannot attain that, obviously. Mm. And it's just not reality. So now you have thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures of something that isn't reality that you're seeing and you're filtering through your mind every single day.
Mm.
So it doesn't even take someone who is lost or da-da-da or whatever to be fooled into thinking, wait, hold on, am I the only person that's not perfect? Mm. Why does it look like every guy has stacks of cash and is able to just go and splurge and travel to Dubai every weekend? Why does it look like every girl travels around the world and is on the beach and on different corners of the earth every day and only eats at five-star restaurants? Am I the only one? Like, you know, but none of it's real. Do you know what I'm saying? They show you what they want to show you. And then on top of that, they filter it, edit it. That, like, it, you know, so people are now competing with an idea that they think is a norm that is just, it's warped everyone's perception and it's made people fall out of love with themselves. Do you feel me? Mm. So if I could give any simple advice, is to take a break from it. To take a break from it. You need to sometimes spend time with yourself, you know. When we're stuck on our phones on social media and Twitter and TikTok, whatever it might be, we're forcing ourselves into a room with thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of people we don't know. So even though you might be in a room alone with your phone, you're not alone. So because we're with our phones all the time, it doesn't give us alone time. It doesn't give us any me time, which is something we all need. How can you love yourself if you don't spend time with yourself? If you're in a relationship with someone else and that person never spent any time with you and they said they loved you, you'll be like, you're a liar. What are you talking about? Why don't you ever spend time with me? Why don't you talk to me?
Wow.
Why don't you... Do you get what I'm
drag
saying?
Drag us.
I'm drag being us dragged the... right now.
No.
That's
no,
the
no,
no. It's real. Real talk, man.
But no, so we don't spend time with ourselves. So if we don't spend time with ourselves, how can you love yourself? Mm. So take a break from it. Put the phone down. And be in your own presence for a while. Do you know what I mean? Don't allow media, music, what everyone and their mama is saying, distract you from your own company. And then fall in love with that company right there. And then everything else will slowly fall back into place.
That's me clicking for those that can't.
I'm clicking too, honestly.
But one thing I wanted, what I wanted to say though, I like could not agree more. Like constantly on a digital detox, it is absolutely horrendous. And I think the point about being in a room with thousands of people, you know, their baggage, their chakra, like it's real. Like it's a really good point. So in terms of like, I mean, I cannot even imagine the notifications. Like I can't imagine the wave of, you know, of just content, of just conversations that are be like being had in your comment section, all that kind of stuff. How do you, it's like, do you engage? Do you read your comments? Do you like scroll Twitter like that? Because I know obviously, you know, we can take breaks and stuff, but I can't, I mean, I get anxiety even when I just have a handful of notifications. So I'm just interested, because I think a lot of people are interested in how people in the public eye actually deal with their social media. Some people have a team, some people like reading their DMs themselves. I know that you don't read your DMs, which we'll get to later, but I'm interested in a PSA for those that have tried to slide in. Yeah, I'm interested in, genuinely, if you see, especially when, you know, like there are these, let's keep it real, like there are these toxic blog accounts and sites that will not only you know, be commenting stuff, but will be putting your face on it and tagging you, and people will be tagging you and expecting you to respond and engage with that. So how good are you at just genuinely ignoring it? Or do you ever find yourself, you know, I know people that type their names in and are like, what's being said about me? Do you ever find yourself falling into that trap?
From time, very rarely, but I have done it before. And I think more so when I first came out, because I was just, you know, I was just getting hit with so much. But like, I might not like it, but I mute all of those sort of blogger accounts. I don't, they don't come up on my feed. So a lot of the stuff, even if it comes out, I don't even know it's there. And I don't generally go through the comment section. If I catch the ones that are just at the top, like, I'll see it, cool. But it's something that, you know, I it's too much information to take on. Us as humans, we're not supposed to take on that much information. Do you know what I mean? If you think about when we were first created, there wasn't all of this technology. So it's like, you know, beginning of time when we were probably living in, I don't know, small communities, what happened within that community was the information that you mostly took on. So if something bad happened, okay, you knew about it, but there wasn't an overload of all the bad stuff that's going on around the world, you being overloaded with this information. Do you know what I'm saying? So me personally, like, I don't go crazy with going into the comments. And it's not that I don't appreciate when people say nice things. Yes, yeah, it's cool, you know. But like I said, you can't get carried away with nice things just as much as you don't want to read into bad things. So I keep a lot of it at a distance. Do you feel me? I keep a lot of it at a distance. Because your subconscious doesn't know what's, you know, when you read stuff, if you read too much of it, your subconscious will take it on regardless. You might not think you're taking it or really deep in it, but your subconscious will take all of it on. So, yeah, I don't want to fall into that trap. That's yeah, I'm good on it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I really, really love your relationship with your brother. As I was reading the book, and it kind of brought me to tears a little bit. It was a little bit emotional. I love how you speak about him and how, you know, he was like a guardian angel, and everybody kind of like needs that person they can turn to. And, you know, even the conversations that the stuff you were writing about, the comparison between you and your brother growing up. I guess just touching on both points that we've spoken about around like comparison and the need to always like, I guess everybody needs that person. How important has, you know, relationships been, and cultivating good and positive relationship been through your life? Because I really love how you speak about it in this book.
Relationships have helped me grow tremendously. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be the person I am today without obviously influences from external people that are close to me. You know, as much as I say that it's extremely important to follow your heart and to follow your own intuition and your internal compass, you do need people around you to bounce ideas off of. You need different perspectives, because when you hear different perspectives going through life, there's stuff that will your inner compass, your intuition, who you are, will naturally agree with. So you can take stuff from these relationships and you can grow from these relationships. But that's why it's so important to have positive relationships around you. Those toxic friends that are always negative, always pessimistic, like, yeah, you really want to be careful with who you surround yourself with. Do you know what I mean? If you show me who your friends are, I'll tell you who you are. Do you get it?
It's true.
So it's you have to protect your mind, protect your energy, guard your energy, and just be careful of who you surround yourself with. They'll either elevate you or drag you down. So,
And I think about, like, another thing that when Elizabeth was speaking about your relationship with your brother, which you talk about so beautifully, I think it's interesting how, like, you are obviously somebody that's comfortable with expressing not just emotions, but feelings and, like, love for people. Like, you're not uncomfortable with expressing yourself in that way. It's fascinating that you expressing sadness over somebody, like a friend of yours leaving the villa, it created some wave of support and just amazing response, because it's something we see so rarely. And it's like obviously you were fantastic in the villa, but it's like the bar is so low that, like, someone is upset about something so natural, and it's like, oh my god, wow, this man isn't an axe wielding murderer, this is fantastic. But it's like, come on, it should be normalized, right?
It should be, exactly.
And I feel like, when did I just was interested in, like, you know, again, have you always been confident and comfortable expressing yourself in that way and just being real about how you feel about stuff, especially when there is such pressure on men and specifically black men to not be emotional in any way?
Just with life experience, you know, I've dealt with loss. Do you know what I mean? I've dealt with heartbreak. I've dealt with these real circumstances that hurt all of us. Everyone hurts. Do you feel me? When we're all kids and we're all toddlers or whatever, when we all fall down, we cry. Maybe there is some youths out there that they don't cry, but everyone, when you fall and bang your knee when you're a kid, yeah, you cried. All the bad men with gold teeth everywhere, they cried too. everyone cried. Do you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden now, because you've reached a certain age, you cut off a whole half of you, which is your emotional side, and you detach yourself from that. Well, if you're not able to get access to half of who you are, which is, you know, I call it sort of your emotional side, that means that you can't fully be appreciating who you are, and it'll make you half the person, half the man. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that disconnect with yourself, it really hurts, especially us men, because now it doesn't allow us to communicate. That's why a lot of us have problems communicating issues, especially when it comes to things that hurt us, or when we feel vulnerable. Like, we don't know how to communicate it to our partners, to our ladies. We don't know how to communicate it to our group of friends without feeling like, okay, we're less of a man. Well, no, that's part of it too. That's part of it. And being able to tackle those issues, that's part of your life too. Mm. You know? So, yeah, man. I think as I've grown up, I've realized more and more the necessity to be able to communicate your hurts and your pain. Because at the end of the day, if you don't deal with it, the pain's going to be there. You know? And it's going to fester, and it's going to become infected, and it's going to infect other parts of your life. Do you know what I mean? And it's going to start to manifest itself in different ways, which it comes out in bad temper, anger, this, that, and the other. When really, it's because you're hurt, man. You're hurting, but you got to deal with it.
Yeah. I am a big Arsenal fan. And I used to be a junior gunner. Like, I used to be obsessed.
Oh, yeah. So you are cold.
Yep, I had, like, all of that sort of stuff. And you list, like, Thierry Henry, who's, like, oh, my idol, and Ian Wright as, like, your role models. But what I find interesting is when you said, like, you know, it's important to be inspired by but not empowered by people who you find dope. What is the difference between those two?
I think when you're empowered by by people. You're resting on someone else's exact experiences, you know what I mean? And you almost take their way and their path as written word. You take that as gold, do you know what I mean? And you almost can fall into a trap of saying, okay, well, this is how this person's done it, so you want to try things that exact way. Well, hold on, that path worked for them, do you know what I mean? That person is very different from you. You can be inspired by their path, and you can take things from how they've dealt with situations, but don't draw power from that exact path and the exact way that they've done things and take that on yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you try things the exact way anyone else has done it, I guarantee you the results won't be the exact same.
Yeah.
You could literally do, I guarantee you, if I did the exact same amount of singing lessons that Beyonce did, or I rapped the exact same way that Jay-Z rapped, and I lived the same sort of life, I wouldn't have the same, it won't manifest itself in the same way. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. In order to find our own greatness and to really just walk our paths, we need to be inspired by other people's paths. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, like, yeah, that's just my take on it. Because
yeah.
I felt like I did that, and at certain points, like, you get to a point where you don't really know it, but you're almost start idolizing people, and you know, and that's when I don't feel like you're giving yourself enough credit as a person. It's like, yeah, that person's dope, but I do this well, and I do this well, so you know, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
I think one of the really great things about your book is the fact that, you know, you're clear about the fact that this isn't just for men. Despite you being a man, you're speaking to all of us, you're engaging with all of us. And I think when you sort of speak about Instagram and comparison, that's something that everybody deals with in different ways. But when it comes to the physicality and appearances and stuff, that's something that I think we can probably all agree women really kind of often struggle with specifically. Now, how do I word this? I think objectively, it's fair to say, no objectification in this. You are a good looking guy. That's just a fair point, right?
Facts.
And I think it's just facts. I think scientifically speaking, it's fair to say, right? And I think that it's like, I'm literally, it's the elephant in the room in this whole conversation.
Right.
I feel like what I think surprised people about you on a show like Love Island is that it's a very looks focused show, and you then showed yourself to be very deep. I think even in this conversation, like, you know, you're clearly a very deep person. Now, the thing for a lot of women is, I think a lot of us can feel like it even if we are deep, even if we are, you know, there is more to us, we live in a world and a society that places value and prioritizes women's appearances in terms of their value in society in a way that often can make women feel that it almost doesn't matter what is going on the inside. And that's a very basic way of seeing it, but you get what I mean. Like, with men, it's often how much money do you have? With women, it's often what do you look like? So I guess when it comes to women and it comes to them having to divest from the idea that their looks are the most important thing and that they shouldn't filter and all that kind of stuff, what tips do you have in terms of doing that? Because I feel like for a lot of women, it's deeper than even just vanity. It's often, but the world is telling me that's where my value lies. How do you divest from that idea? Because I think for guys, it's still difficult, but might be slightly easier, if that makes sense, than it can be for women. Because, you know, when you look at films, for instance, you get the funny guy with the stunning, beautiful lead, but it's very rare that you'll see like the funny woman with the really handsome guy in the film. Does that make sense to you?
I think it's something that is definitely a big issue for all of us, but I'll be lying if I said it wasn't sort of probably a bit more prominent amongst ladies. My whole thing is, when you fall into these traps of comparing yourself, altering yourself because of trying to keep up to this standard that everyone else has set, what's the end goal? Do you know what I'm saying? What's the end goal? I like to think that the end goal for all of us is to be happy. Do you know what I mean? You know, for people who want to find someone, which I think is most of us, we want people to love us, accept us, wholly for who we are. That's how we're going to feel fulfilled, I feel like. Now, when you fall into a trap of changing yourself for others, you will never feel fulfilled. It will always feel like you have to do a little bit more. It's never quite good enough. It's always a short-term gratification. Do you know what I'm saying? The more you're able to sort of take yourself out of that realm, and that's why I say it's so important to take a break from that social media. I can't stress how important it is to take a social media detox, you know, because what you feed your eyes and your ears, that's what's inside your spirit. So the more you're able to take yourself out of that realm and really realize that your value does lie in other areas and start to really appreciate everything you bring to the table, it will be mad to you to settle for less for someone who only values you on a physical level. Because to you, it's like, hold on. It's like you bring in a full bag. It's like you walking around with millions and millions in your backpack. But if you don't take time to count how much you actually bring to the table, then you could go to a table, a poker table, and you don't really have an idea. You're like, well, at face value, I've looked at the bag, so it looks like I've got a lot. So cool. Like, so you sit down a little bit confident, but you count exactly how much you have, and you know that maybe it's more than it actually looks. Because if you've looked at £1 million in cash, it don't look like it's at, you know, it's not like what you probably have in your mind. But you count that and know how much you have and how much you're really bringing to the table. You can never settle for less. You could never. You couldn't. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's because we don't spend time to count the blessings that we are. We don't spend time to count how much and how great we are internally. And we don't spend enough time in that place with ourselves. So it's very hard to truly understand your value. You really need to understand your value and spend time alone to get to a place where it's like, all right, well, hold on. I don't care what all you lot got going on. I know how much I got in the bag. Regardless of what your one looks like, I know the value of my thing. Do you feel me? So
absolutely, 100%.
It's not easy, and that's why you need to surround yourself with friends that are like-minded or want to grow or are in that frame of mind where they're saying like, all right, like let's help each other in this sense. Let's be a rock for each other to bounce off. I'm going to have a bad day. Someone else in your group, in your close unit, needs to pick you up and vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying? We can get there. I feel like we can get there. It'll start small, but hopefully more and more people start taking the stuff on board, man.
The Nigerian man really jumped out with the backpack analogy. That's how my dad talks, like, those proverbs and, like, fables. Yeah, loving it, man.
No, it's true. It's true anyway.
I know, it is definitely true. I think, like, no, that's fully real. And, like, I often say that, like, you know, looks are definitely, like, they're a biological accident. Like, they don't have any bearing on somebody's morality, on anybody's value. Like, I always say that this is why, when I was saying it's an objective thing to me, attractiveness is very much like height. It's very much like, if you say, oh, someone's tall, someone's short, it's not necessarily a compliment at times. It's very much just people look how they look, right? So I'm interested in how, you know, especially again going on a show where like appearance, it was like a big thing on Love Island and stuff, and obviously, you know, as I said, like, you know, people definitely like comment on the way you look. How, again, when I sort of spoke about the idea of having to remain humble, of having to not let things go to your head, have you always been somebody that's just been like, you know what, it is what it is. This is just an outer shell. I'm not really too pressed about what people think about it. Or have you had your moments, at least when you were a teenager, like where you were just like, you know what, like, gouting too close. I'm diving out here, like, you know, like lapping it up. Like, has it been a journey basically to learn that? Because in my mind, I'm like, we all get old, so no one's looking like this forever. But it's hard. It's not easy to maintain that. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, mindset.
I grew up, like, when I was younger, two things. Like, black guys weren't cool. Like it wasn't fashionable to be with a black guy. One.
Interesting.
And two, to be an African wasn't the cool thing. Now it's a very different world we live in now, where now everyone wants to rep up the Nigerian flag. Everyone's repping off guard.
Yeah.
Everyone's repping now. But when we were young, it was like me, one of my brethren, and then everyone else in our group they were all Caribbean. So it was two of us that were, you know, they'd always throw the little African shade jokes and ha ha ha, cool. You know, so I don't know. I've been in a place where, okay, everyone ain't feeling your sauce. But again, it's one of those things, and I think you touched on it. I've just always felt like, all right, yeah, well, your looks, I didn't work for it. Do you know what I mean? This isn't something that I've gone out and sweated for and da-da-da. And I generally think, like, you know, if you're an extremely attractive person, oh, great. You know what I'm saying? Cool. You know, thank God, thank the lucky stars, and sort of keep it moving, but don't move and don't treat people like that's something you've worked for or something you've earned. Do you know what I mean? It's a blessing and it's a gift. So, you know, we all need to be appreciative of gifts when it's something that we haven't worked for. Okay, if you worked your butt off for something and da-da-da, all right, hey, you know, walk with a little bit of pep in your step, that's an achievement, great. But it's not something you worked for and you know, it was just, it just happened, man. Like,
yeah.
So just be humble, man. Remain humble.
Thank you so much. I had one quick question before you go. Oh, gosh, I'm so embarrassing. But I love the layout of the book. I think it's super dope. I love the fact that you can write in it. How did you find the writing process and pulling it together? And was that quite intentional that you wanted people to kind of like, because it's colourful, there's just so much in there.
I wanted it to be something that was almost like a conversation with the readers, you know? I really felt like there's a lot of stuff and issues in the book that we all go through, but we're not always comfortable talking to our friends about it, or talking to our family members, or talking to our partner about it, or whatever. So I wanted them to feel like they could almost have a conversation with me, in a sense. And they could really always revert back to their own life and always apply these situations and little stories and think about situations that are similar in their life. And that's why I wanted it to be something that people could write in, because, you know, I didn't want it to be Ovi, me. Like, no. I wanted to use little short stories from my life, but then for the reader to always be able to say, well, actually, I've been through something similar to that. And then to just look at how I've navigated through it and see what they can take from it. And some stuff they'll be able to take, and some stuff they might not feel like, all right, well, no, that's not really good for me. Fine. Mm. But you can create something that works for you, you know, as you go through the book, as you work through the book, and you can always just sort of refer back to it when you need to. So
amazing. And gosh, we're running out of time, so I just need to ask this, because I know that we'll be dragged if we do not at least attempt to touch on this, because I know there's a section in the book called Love Tips, and you know, we're interested in why you feel, I think any of us that are in the jungle can answer it for ourselves, but why you feel that people need love tips these days. Like, what are your thoughts in terms of modern dating? Why do you think that we need guidance, essentially?
Because we all need guidance. We all need help.
Yes.
At the end of the day, to be loved and to be completely accepted for you is something that every single human craves. Every single human. Whether you're... however people try and package their lives, it comes down to acceptance, you know. Mm. The people who are popping bottles in the club, okay, why are you popping bottles? Because you want to be accepted by whoever you're trying to attract to your section. Do you know what I'm saying? When you go out and you dress to the nines, well, you're most comfortable in your pajamas. But, you know, you don't go out like that, because it's this idea of acceptance. And I feel like now, especially with social media and the pressures that it puts on relationships these days also, you know, for people to sort of just get a couple helping tips and realize some places that I feel like can help everyone, especially in areas where I've messed up in the past and I've learnt from, I think it's just necessary and it can, you know, hopefully help all of us locate that special somebody. So,
yeah. Oh, I like that. Locate that special somebody.
Honestly, ooh. Very positive outlook, optimistic endpoint, I think.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Ovi. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Ladies, I've enjoyed it.
Man. Thank you. And your book is excellent. And we hope that every last one of you guys will read it and learn from it and grow from it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.